Today is Whit Sunday, the anniversary of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the church. May he be poured out among us this evening. Our hymn is 983, 983. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. Oh, make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. Hymn 983.
Read together from the most holy word of God, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evil doers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken. But the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be for ever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. depart from evil and do good, and dwell for evermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved for ever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein for ever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The law will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, once more, through thy sparing mercies, we are enabled to gather in thy courts this night. Thou hast lengthened out our time here upon the earth so to do. And may it please thee that we've entered into thy courts because thou hast bored our ear to the doorpost. Thou hast begun that work in our hearts. We come up to the courts of the Lord to hear what thou mightest speak. But if there is that still which is no more than formal dead rounds of empty service, a coming and going which just pleases the flesh, pleases the natural conscience, oh, do in thy good time, yea, hasten it, when thou wilt lay the axe to the root. Cut all that up which is no more than that which is of the flesh. Cut it up root and branch. There might be said of this one and that one, yea, of each one of us here. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, all soul trouble. All might be found amongst those, yes, chosen in eternity past and called in time, amongst those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that remnant there, loved of the Father, given to the Son, and that which given to the Son, the Son has declared, all that the Father hath given me shall come to me. Oh, the certainty of it, not left in the hands of man to save himself, but through that one by whom salvation came, And so we plead then, do hasten that time when thou would bring this or that one. They might hear thy voice, hear the voice of the shepherd, and enter in. Enter in. Yes, the day hastens, does it not, when that door of mercy will be shut, when the day of grace will have ended, when the tree, as we read, do we not, when the tree falls, so it shall lie. But we're still upon praying ground, and the day of grace has not ended. And so we plead, do take us each in hand, and work mightily in our hearts. And oh, we plead, even as the even the apostle was brought to this, was he not? That he might make his calling and election sure. And may we likewise be found amongst those with that, yes, that desire to make our calling and election sure, to prove that what we have is real. For the apostle, his concern was, lest he should have preached unto the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and he should be found to cast away at last the solemnity of it. And so may it please him. Search the speaker's heart, search our hearts, try our ways. Oh, bring us each that true repentance and godly sorrow for our sins. Oh, there might be found amongst those that truly know what it is, as the Spirit reveals the hidden evils of the heart, the malignity there, the foulness there, that which is hidden within. That we are nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and that we have need of a Saviour, one to redeem. Yes, one to redeem. And we read in thy word, without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. But oh, to see one that gave his life a ransom for many, for his people, his chosen, his church, his bride, the elect according to foreknowledge of God, gave his life a ransom. And so may we be now to speak even as John of old was shown. It was revealed to him whereby he could declare, behold, the Lamb of God. And all that might by faith likewise behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God once slain. But all to behold the Lamb of God. Yes, risen indeed. Now sitting upon the right hand of the Father, one verily God, verily man, the shepherd that bore the sword of divine justice to the satisfaction of the demands of the law, the holy, righteous law of God. But what a mercy that which thou didst in thy sufferings, in and through thy sufferings and thy death and thy merits, it satisfied the Father, and it satisfied the demands of the law. And we rejoice in thy dying cry, it is finished. But also when we hear by faith what the Father God, the Father, spake concerning the Son, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There is that then which pleased the Father. Hear ye him, and all might likewise, by the Spirit, hear the voice of the Son. Hear those gospel invitations unto those that feel they're heavily laden, burdened by sin. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so we plead for each one as we've gathered this night again, and those that gathered in the morning, And so do have mercy upon us. Do remember once again the dear young friends here from the little babe we saw this morning, to those that are growing up and going on into life. Lord, we plead for them. It is a dark and evil day in which their lot is cast, but thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same in thy power and thy mercy. Ah, yes, and thou art able to hedge them about. Thou art able to guard them and guide them and keep them. And so we plead, keep them in the hour of temptation. Keep them close to thee. And especially as they grow up and go on into life, as they have to then begin those labours for the meat which perisheth, or enter into further education where they then have to mix with this one and that one. And no doubt they find those that are moved by Satan to try as much as he can, and he will, he's a cruel foe, to cause them to do this or that, or that. And as one has often said, what a mercy when we can look back. We can look back in later years and say it was kept by the power of God. So keep them by thy power, thy almighty power. May they have been able to say in an hour of temptation, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. All the fear of the Lord, which is a beginning of wisdom. I do remember once again parents and all that concerns them as they seek to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, it is a difficult day, much to counter as it is thrust upon them by authorities and powers, trying to desensitize, make things sound normal. Evil is called good and good is called evil. But, O Lord, in heaven to speak, to speak wisely, and according to thy word, that which counters the evils of the day. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth unto all men liberally, and upbraideth not. And so to help them we plead. And to remember each one in the midst of life with all its cares, whether it is those in their studies, right through to those in their retirements, the busy housewives and mothers in the home, those in their workplaces and scenes of life. Lord, ever changing. And, O Lord, we proved we not, it is through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. We proved we not, it is thorns also and thistles. But, oh, what a mercy when we likewise prove the promise to be true. For he has said, I'll never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And yet at times we seem forsaken. I believe the hymn this morning, was it not this? I seem forsaken and alone, I hear the lion roar, but every door is shut but one, and that is mercy's door. Yes, at times we hear the lion roar, we feel forsaken, but mercy's door, the throne of grace, the mercy seat. Yes, at times we're brought to those scenes when we know not how to speak. But there's the upward glancing of the eye, the falling of a tear, the burden of a sigh, when none but God is near. And what a mercy when thou lookest upon us in our low estate, when truly we're brought to those times and seasons, not only do we know not what to do, but we cannot speak. Bow down under it all, find ourselves in darkness and distress. But there is one that looks down upon that poor sinner and compassionates their case, draws near unto them, gives them a little touch, a look, speaks a word. Oh, we trust we proved it so again and again. And may each one prove it so in their times of need and distress, amidst all the storms of life, amidst all the cares and the things which seem to overtake us and seem at times like the overwhelming flood. And the waves and the billows seem to go over our head and threaten to destroy. And we wonder what faith we have, what hope we have, if we have any hope at all. But all that little grain of living faith, though damped, it can never die. And blessed be God, the Holy Spirit, that one as that well of water springing up within unto everlasting life. Will not leave that one to perish, perish in the wilderness without hope, perish in his troubles. But thou wilt once again revive and breathe upon his dry bones, and thou wilt raise it once again to a flame. Ah, we trust we've proved it so. May each one likewise prove it so. Once in him forever thus the eternal covenant stands. But all thou knowest those times of darkness and distress are our portion here below. And how at times we're brought to that Psalm 121, oh, lift up mine eyes. The eye of faith, though dim, I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, the Spirit enables that one to look again. Yes, look again and again. And so we plead, yes, the lions may roar. Ah, but every door may be shut but one. And that is mercy's door. And that door of mercy stands open all day to the poor and the needy that knock by the way. And so may each one prove it in the midst of life. With all their cares, enable one another to cast their burden upon thee. Ah, and may they prove that the shepherd goes before his sheep. Ah, has gone before them, goes before them, and they are walking in the footsteps of the flock through much tribulation. But yes, proving those consolations of the gospel, proving those blessings. Which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And so do remember each one in their path of life. And do remember those in the even time of life, they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. Heart and flesh begin to fail. Oh, we plead, do grant them those fresh tokens. Grant them a little dew upon the branch, if it could please. Ah, yes, perhaps they feel in that way like their body, now more barren and begin to wither up, as it were. But oh, may it please thee. May it prove had life in the soul. Ah, the former and latter rain in the season. Ah, that there is that fruit to be found upon the branch, that which is to thy honour and thy glory, that thy name should have all the praise. May not be able to do that much in the way of physical things anymore, but do enable them to speak, perhaps under one or another, younger in years, perhaps in that way of testifying under the younger generation, all the way which the Lord their God hath led them, as they recount those Ebenezer stones. What mean ye by these stones? They can testify those stones of help to the encouragement of the younger generation. And so we plead for them, those in their sicknesses and afflictions of body. Lord, thou knowest also, yes, these things that thou dost purpose to come. And we find as oneself, we find it so, our old nature kicks and struggles against it. We find our old nature is the same as the Apostle Paul of old. Yes, when these things come, they're thorns in the flesh. they buffet us. Their messengers are Satan sent to buffet us. And they're as distasteful to our old flesh as what they were to the apostle of old. And we find likewise the prayer comes forth from our lips, as it not, in a similar way, that these things might be removed, taken away as soon as possible. But all we have to prove, do we not, that thou hast a different purpose in the matter, different thoughts. We have to prove, do we not, that thy thoughts are not as our thoughts, and thy ways are not as our ways. Yes, we're brought to that place, Lord, do what seemeth thou good. Only lead me forth for the right way. Be like the apostle. Oh, what did he prove? Something better. Yes, his flesh no doubt disapproved of it, but faith approved it well. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So may one another find in their afflictive circumstances those things which affect their body, and it goes against their natural thought in the matter. It goes against what their carnal reasoning in the matter is. Oh, may they prove that abundant grace to sustain and uphold and strengthen. And that grace, does it not enable that poor sinner to say, thy will be done, thy will be done. So remember any in their afflictions. And once again, to remember the church and people here. While we speak concerning all the little hills of Zion, Lord, we plead, strengthen those things which remain, those things which are ready to die. And if it could please thee, there might be a reviving in our day, a building up. Perhaps there are still a goodly number gathered here, and we thank thee for it. But oh, if it could please thee, both here and elsewhere, there might be a constraining of this one and that one elsewhere, out in the world, those whom thou hast a purpose of grace to ward, a constraining of them to turn in like those Greeks of old, with us, sirs, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, and if there are the prodigals that have turned aside perhaps many years ago, fled from one other part of the country, even to this part of the country. Lord, thou canst bring them to that time of need. Bring them to that time of need. They might likewise in due time know what it is to hunger and thirst after thee and after thy righteousness. They fain would eat the husks that the swine would eat. Such is their destitution, bankrupt, destitute, out of the way. And they have to once again return unto the Father's household. So we plead, do remember Zion, but all we thank thee, that we have thy word in its entirety, maintain it to the generation that follows. There are many assaults upon the true church, many assaults upon thy word, for it offends, it finds men out in their sins, in their abominations, and where it offends them, they would like to remove it. And so we plead, maintain thy word in its entirety unto the generations that follow. Thou hast done down through the ages to this day of time. Thy word will remain. Man may consign the word of God to the flames, but it cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. And so we plead, enable us to pray more earnestly. Yes. Preserve unto us not only thy word in its entirety, but our liberties to gather without the fear of man or authority, that none can lawfully make us afraid. But as we live in a day now where evil is called good and good is called evil, the law is slacked. Where we do wonder whether a greater persecution may yet come. But if it should come, grant that grace to bear it, to be sustained under it. We fear it, we tremble, and we know our weak flesh, and how our weak flesh under such a thing would soon fall in love itself. Lord, do grant then that abundance of thy grace. But Lord, we plead then, do then maintain these precious privileges. Lord, we thank thee for them. Perhaps we can take them for granted at times, but we thank thee for them. And now, O Lord, as we are favoured to gather in thy courts, we thank thee for the mercy and favour that we can gather even here and gather around thy word, and none can interfere or try to distract or prevent us from speaking. Lord, we thank thee for it. But now we plead for thy help. We plead for that liberty. Liberty to speak as thou havest to speak. May it be that word in season unto this one or that one. We thank thee that thou hast declared that thou wilt send thy word forth. And when it goes forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, it shall accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it, and not return unto thee void. May it please, it might be so this night. The power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit was poured out in those days of old, what an increase it was. May we yet see, even in our day, the power of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and in our midst. We plead. So as we've gathered this night, may they be losing a sight of the man and seeing none other save Jesus only. Yes, by the power of the Spirit, may thy word be sealed upon the heart. May there be that which can be taken home and beaten out. May it be like the bread cast upon the waters found after many days. And not just that which is left and lost on the doorstep. We plead then, the living word, that word of thy grace. There might be a tasting, handling and feeling of it. Tasting that thou art gracious, that thou art that bread of life sent down from heaven. And so we plead, do break it unto us and favour us with it this night. We're but a company of poor sinners. But when thou wast here upon the earth, thou wast pleased to eat with publicans and sinners. We plead that it might be so. Yes, a crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave, unworthy to be fed, with dainties such as angels have, and with the children's bread. But a crumb, we're unworthy of a crumb. We plead that it might be so. Yea, even the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. We plead then. Let it fall even like it was in the days of Boaz. He commanded, did he not, to let fall those hands full of purpose. Yes, there are those that went to glean. But in that way of his of special purpose unto Ruth. That day there was that commandment to let fall those hands full of purpose, and there was nothing to should hinder her. They were not to hinder her. Might it please thee this night. So we plead now for thy help. Pardon and forgive then our many sins, our failings and our shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious and atoning blood, we plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
hymn number 27, 2-7. Come, Holy Spirit, come, let thy bright beams arise. Dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes. Hymn number 27.
Thank you.
seeking once again the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we turn back to Psalm 136 and read those two verses, 23 and 24. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 136, reading those two verses, 23 and 24. I'll go on to the end. Who remembered us in our lowest state, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. As we say, tried to speak this morning, that one, that in that purpose of grace in eternity past, while we speak of that one, but the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three yet one, one yet three, the mystery of godliness. That yes, there's a remnant that was loved then, before man was ever created, before ever the worlds were formed. There was a number that were whose names are written up in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they were loved with that everlasting love. And yes, when Adam fell, and so did we likewise, what a low estate then we were. Certainly not in that whereby we were created. As Adam was created, he communed with God, did he not? Face to face, in the cool of the day, in the Garden of Eden. But then came that separation. Yes, sinful man. Man had sinned and come short. And so you and I have done, and so did Adam and Eve. But oh, one who remembered Adam and Eve and did that for them, as he went then to search them out when they sinned, and that was made known unto them. They saw they were naked, and they tried to hide themselves, cover themselves. Ah, those fig leaves, the poor covering. And Almighty God, in his goodness and his mercy to them there. There was those animals that were slain, and he had made for them those coats to cover them. Ah, goodness and mercy unto them, Adam and Eve, in their day. And then in that time appointed one that was prophesied of, the eternal Son, came to be a man and die, and so it was. And as we hinted at this morning, what a mercy. Made like unto his brethren, body and soul, and walked that lowly path here below, as that man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that one that knew what it was to hunger, that one that knew what it was to weep, knew what it was to find an adversary tempted 40 days and 40 nights. But oh, that one that came to satisfy the law, knew what it was to bear the hiding of the Father's face. I knew what it was to drink that cup of the wrath of God, not for any sins of his own, but when the sins of his chosen people were laid upon him, as that one to bear their sins. And yes, made sin for us, he who knew no sin. But he bore their sins, willingly laid down his life, gave his life, shed his own heart's blood. And it satisfied the law and all its demands. Oh, blessed be God, it was so. He remembered, who remembered us in our low estate. And these things are made known unto poor sinners, those that are brought to fill their low estate in our day, and shall be so down to the end of time. Ah, yes, from Adam's day down to the end of time, there shall be, where art thou? Where art thou? Searching them out, calling them out. Ah, and that of his salvation being made known unto them in all its blessedness, its fullness, its beauty, it's made known unto them who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And so it shall, down to the end of time, when Christ shall return, when the last of the Lord's people there's that wrought in their hearts savingly. When, yes, the Lord of life and glory shall come in the clouds, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain alive and remain shall be caught up with him, changed in the twinkling of an eye, but with that body that is incorruptible, a body then like unto his own, that which was laid in the grave in corruption. And corruption takes hold upon it, the worms destroy it. But the soul, yes, at that day of death, goes unto the one that gave it, to await that resurrection morning. Ah, to await that resurrection morning, to be raised again as a son or daughter by blessed adoption, an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ. Ah, that one that was a beggar upon the dunghill, a beggar. Yes, that one that knew what it was to have all his wounds and bruises and putrefying sores painfully made known unto him. Ah, but that which came by and through Christ and his precious blood, by his death and his merits, but that path, as I believe we hinted at this morning, that path which the Lord's people are brought to walk in, and they have often found, are they not, in a tried path, trying circumstances. And they find my mind went to that psalm that we've read. Ah, fret not. And the Lord's people find they're often in those conditions where they fret. Ah, they fret and mope and mourn. They look upon those that seem to go on with no troubles or trials, distresses or perplexities. And like dear Asaph in that Psalm 73, often turn to that Psalm 73. Ah, do you find likewise you can't cast a stone at Asaph? You find the same thing comes when you're brought into a path of tribulation, of trial, when it seems, yes, the waves and the billows seem well nigh gone over your head, ready to sink you. And our old carnal reasoning looks upon the wicked that seems to prosper in their way. You read that Psalm 73 of Asaph, and same as it is, then I believe David knew what it was to fret. Although this psalm here, he speaks, fret not thyself because of evildoers. But I believe it's in Psalm 55, I turn to it again. Yes, he knew what it was to fret there. Well, if it's not fretting, I don't know what you could call it. But he was brought to this, was he not? Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint to make a noise because of the oppression of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And what did he say? Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then I will wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I will hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. There's fretting there, is there not? Yet in that same psalm, does he not speak like this? Ah, yes, we find we have an old nature in the warfare, the old man of sin against the new man of grace. And what does the new man of grace say? Ah, yes, regarding those that have no changes, those that have a path that doesn't know anything of fretting, and unbelief, and dark places, and trials that seem to threaten to destroy every grace and every faith. Well, we read in that psalm, do we not? Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. They have no changes. And the Lord's people, they know those times when they fret. They find troubles come. And it's their carnal reasoning, their old nature. And you find like this, the hymn writer. No wonder the hymn writer penned it thus. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Ah, yes, and must it, Lord, be so? So like dear old Asaph, yes, he looked upon those around him, and certainly the wicked, and those that feared not God, and perhaps those that seemed to be full of a religion that stood no more in the strength of their own arms. They knew no changes because they feared not God. Well, what did the apostle say in his epistle? Well, I turn to that again in the interval. But all the apostle Peter, what did he say in his day and generation? It's left on record, is it not, in the Word of God. And he penned it like this. In the first epistle in the fourth chapter. And no doubt speaking from experience, he had proved this to be true. That, yes, those things which seem so painful to our flesh and our natural thoughts and our carnal reasoning, which make us fret, which make us say, hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath in anger shut up his tender mercies? And like the hymn writer, must it, Lord, be so? Must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Is this the lot of God's elect? Can't quite quote how the rest of it goes. But all the apostle Peter, beloved, he declares. Beloved, yes, he's speaking unto the Lord's people. Beloved, those that know what it is to be found in those low places. Those places they find themselves unable to lift themselves up. They find it is darkness and distress. They find unbelief seems to have got hold upon them. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Think it not strange. This is a word of God. Yes, penned by one, I believe, he knew what he is talking about. He proved it. And I believe The Apostle Paul proved it when he was brought through many tribulations and trials. He could then glory in infirmities. He could glory in his tribulations and his distresses. And you read that which he penned as regards his pathway. And it was only by grace. By grace it is so. But ah, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not some strange thing. The Lord appoints it. What it's appointed for you. And what a mercy when you prove like the Apostle Peter goes on, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, when that poor sinner in that low place is brought to see one. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Yes, that one that was afflicted, over and above what our afflictions are, our trials are, our tribulations are. Yes, in our room, place, and stead. But all we read, do we not, in Isaiah chapter 63, and the prophet Isaiah spake like this, well, his pen like this, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord. The same chapter 63, it speaks that one that came up out of the wine press, that trod the wine press alone, bore the wrath of God in the sinner's room, place, and stand. And that bearing the wrath of God, it satisfied what the Lord demanded. And so they're precious in his eyes, they're bought with a price. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses, the multitude of them, the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their saviour in all their affliction. He was afflicted, and the angel of his presence, yes, the angel of his presence, does it not speak of the blessed Comforter, which the Lord Jesus Christ himself spake of before he entered into his sufferings, when he discoursed with his disciples? Ah, yes, what a mercy that is left on record, as well as that prayer which he prayed for his disciples. And I believe that is for his people down to the end of time, is left on record. But did he not say this? I'll not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. There's this one that is able to succor them that are tempted. Ah, yes, that one that walked then, as we said, that lowly path, that one that truly was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, that one that we once hid our faces from him, that one that we once despised and rejected, that one that has now become unto the poor sinner the altogether lovely. Ah, yes, that one of whom you can say, what a mercy if you can, he is precious in all their affliction. He was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them, and in his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Love with an everlasting love, as I look upon that, he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Had that purpose of grace toward them. There's that path appointed for them, where they prove, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Ah, partakers, we do but taste the cup. It's the tasting of the cup. But oh, when you think of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, when that poor sinner in his troubles and his trials, his afflictions and difficulties, he views one there that cried out, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, he went on, did he not? The Lord of life and glory, the Saviour. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He came to do his Father's will. And he did. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. But oh, when, just for a moment, through those troubles and trials, those things which seem to, yes, on the one hand your old nature murmurs against it, frets against it, would not have it. But when under grace, you have to say, Lord, do what seemeth thou good. Only lead me forth for the right way. When you prove it is that path appointed, and you prove more of your wretched self, but what? You prove more of a precious Christ. You see one that bore your sins, your iniquities. Yes, because he loved that poor sinner. The Marys and the Manassas. And like the apostle could say of himself, of sinners of whom I am chief, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. The angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Bare them and carried them all the days of old. And so like Asaph, no doubt like David, yes, an old nature that construes this or that thought in the matter. Like the apostle, as I said in prayer, like the apostle, when that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, his prayer was this, was it not? They might be removed from him. Sometimes we have to prove our old nature as a hand in our prayer, as tries to move us in our thoughts and our feelings in the matter. But what a mercy there. There's that overruling of the hand by the hand of God in it. An overruling hand. Yes, an overruling hand. What a mercy. And no doubt the apostle Paul could rejoice in it as he proved it as time went on after that. That abundant grace of God was something better. Something better than having that thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, being removed from him. Yes, as we said, I believe, a little earlier, no doubt the flesh still disliked the way, but faith approved it well. And so like with Asaph, and certainly it was that place where he was brought low. It doesn't say what his trouble was. But no doubt he was brought into a low path. And low in that as he looked upon those round about him. In his feelings he was brought very low. So I've often said concerning that Psalm 42, do you know anything of it? And perhaps even like Asaph, why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Psalm 42, why art thou cast down on my soul? Yes, when you look upon those that of the wicked that seem to prosper, they have no bands in their death, their strength is firm. Their strength is firm. But you read as regards Asaph, and no doubt, David in that psalm where he begins it, "Fret not thyself, fret not thyself." And he speaks concerning that resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him. And he speaks, as he not, concerning that which he no doubt approved. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. He's brought to this, and no doubt it must be when he was older. "I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken." So he'd known what it was to fret, but he'd known those times when, yes, he was brought to call upon the Lord, and that's by the Spirit moving within him, that Spirit which is the well of water springing up unto everlasting life. That's not the natural man doing something for himself. He finds he cannot. He cannot raise that smoking flax to a flame. He cannot raise that which almost seems to be gone of his faith. He cannot give himself faith. But the Holy Spirit. Ah, yes, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God in man. In that unworthy, that unworthy dwelling for such a glorious guest, yet what a mercy it is so. I often quote that Psalm 107. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble." They're brought there. So like Asaph. Well, these things were painful to his flesh, painful to his natural thoughts. But he went into the sanctuary. What a mercy when, through the means of grace, through the foolishness of preaching. Yes, we know it's not always through the foolishness of preaching. The Lord can meet his people wherever he will, in the busy scenes of life. So I've proved it so. I've also proved it so in the house of God. Yes, it was a painful path to him when I thought to know this. It was painful, too painful for me. And he went into the sanctuary of God. Then what did he see? Revealed to him the end of the wicked. The end of the wicked. Those that know no change. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. They are brought into desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. But all when brought to this sweet realization, the Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand, not afar off, not cast that poor sinner off. Not cast that poor sinner off, meets them in their lowest state. For his mercy endureth forever. Asaph could say this then: "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand." And then this: "Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." All that prospect that was once again made known unto him, that which came by Christ, and through what he hath done, which brought in that everlasting salvation for his people by the offering of himself once and for all as a Lamb of God once slain, and that promise made known unto the Lord's people, in my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. When I come again, I shall receive unto myself that where I am, there you may be also. Ah, yes, and so the Asaph went on, wasn't able to go on. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Ah, and afterward receive me to glory. And then he was brought to this, was it not praise? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Ah, coming back to that other psalm we read this morning. Psalm 115. Not unto us. Not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Not unto us. Ah, yes. Not unto us. And so, David in that psalm, yes, he knew what it was. He'd known what it was to fret. But he then in that same psalm speaks, as we quoted a little earlier, that as regards the pathway, both young and the midst of life and older, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. And so he then goes on, you read it at your leisure. Ah, the Lord will not leave him in his hand, that's in the hand of the wicked, in the hand of Satan. Not leave him, to fall before the hand of the enemy, to rise no more, nor condemn him when he is judged. Ah, yes, and then going on, the time is just about gone. But all the same as what Asaph was brought to see. He saw that as regards the wicked. Yes, they may be seen spreading the green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Then this, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Ah, yes, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Ah, yes, on the one hand they find an old nature that frets, but on the other, blessed be God. Ah, yes, blessed be God, that one that calls upon their God. Yes, as we said, I believe this morning, some of them were brought into those places we can't speak. But all the eye of faith looks up. The eye of faith looks up. Oh, have you proved, even as the psalmist put it in, I quoted, I believe, this morning. Ah, yes, and I've likewise proved it. You come to those times and seasons. You find an enemy at your right hand and you can't speak anymore. Such is the trouble. Oh, lift up mine eyes. The eye of faith looks up. Oh, lift up mine eyes unto the hills. The hills can't do any good. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. You look to the one that made them, created them, the creator of all the ends of the earth. You see there's help laid upon one that is mighty. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Yes, will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. But all the eye of faith. Ah, yes, the moving of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, overcoming, yes, that opposition of the flesh. Ah, yes, and that darkness that you feel that comes upon you. Unbelief, hardness of heart. Till I entered into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Oh, what a mercy when, like it was then with Asaph, he saw the blessed prospect. Ah, whilst here below, I'm continually with thee. One that has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. One, going back to that, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. I must quote it correctly. That fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hold me by my right hand. Ah, that one that shall guide with thy counsel, and after receive me to glory. Ah, then when we're brought to that right place, when the Lord lifts up the light of his counsel upon that poor sinner, once again shines through the gloom. Ah, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Tim Parrish will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Charles Warboys next Lord's Day, and he will also address the Sunday School. Our closing hymn is 1068. 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See, I languish, faint and die. Hymn 1068.
do we please to bless thy word, that which is sown in weakness and done in weakness, Lord, we plead, by the blessed Spirit, thou wouldest get to thyself honour and glory and praise, that there might be unto some poor sinner that word in season. Lord, thou knowest, a blessed comforter, one that has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. That one that is found perhaps in that dark place, trying a season, they find an enemy at thy right hand to resist them. Perhaps they wonder where the scene will end. But, O Lord, we plead, do go to them where they are, in their low place, and do be pleased to lift up the light of thy countenance upon them, and do put the new song in the mouth, that song of praise unto thee. And so we plead thy blessing upon thy word. And so do be pleased to, by the power of the Spirit, may accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. Cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast heard and seen amiss. And do remember each one now as we leave thy courts, and that which is in our pathway according to thy good pleasure, perhaps on the morrow and the days to come, as thou dost lengthen out our days here upon the earth. So do now each to fall into thy hands, into thy kind care and keeping. Oh, manage all for each one, young, mids of life or older, manage all for them by the way unto the end. And all may they prove that the shepherd has gone before the sheep. Make those mountains flow down at thy presence, those dark places light, and those rough places plain. Oh, may they prove, they're not forsaken. They're not forsaken. Those arms of the God of Jeshurun are underneath them. And so we plead for them. Do remember them each. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.